Welcome to RevMD, a podcast created for healthcare professionals by healthcare professionals. We will share tips on medical billing and coding, as well as workflow optimization to help practices succeed, thrive, and grow revenue. All right. I am so excited to talk to you guys this week around another payer contracting episode. So just like last week, we talked about payer contracts, defining definitions and terms that you're going to see in these, and really some simple organizational tips that you can use in your practice to make sure you're getting a handle in your contract. So if you missed last week, I would just suggest hitting pause and going to catch that one first. So as you guys know, I'm a big believer that the right private practices can be the ones that help decrease healthcare costs and are often the ones that can help provide excellent patient care and really keep patients out of the hospital. So it's essential that you're paid for your time, and that is something that is all becoming harder and harder. Now, I know it may seem like going up against a huge, large insurance plan is daunting or mystifying and impossible, but I'm going to tell you, it's worth it. And we can make an impact on how your contracts are managed with some very simple tips. And so that's what we're going to go over today. We're going to go over 6 tips to kind of get your contracts in control. Number 1, get a strategy together with your credentialing team. And if you don't have a credentialing team, but maybe you have an office manager or somebody who can sit down with you and go, let's get a handle on where we're credentialed and for what plans we're credentialed for, and just hit pause while we really try and figure out where do we stand. And if you're sitting there going, I haven't seen contracts in 10 years, or I've never seen any of our contracts, that's where it's a time to sit down and go, okay, who do we think we're credentialed with, and start making the painful phone calls of contacting those insurance companies and going, where's my contract, or getting re-credentialed. So I know I discussed that last week. It's just really critical to get copies of all of your contracts. You can't negotiate what you don't know about. It's also important to start to understand your current fee schedules compared to Medicare. And of course, you can't do that until you have your contracts. So get your contracts. Now, once you've got your contracts, you've got a list. Okay, I'm credentialed with all of these payers. I've got these plans that I'm credentialed with. Then you can start to identify how do those fee schedules compare to Medicare, right? Medicare fee schedules are online, or for most EMRs, you can actually download them directly and just pull in all the CPTs and then match up those fee schedules with the commercial payers that you're contracted with. Now, again, you, the physician or healthcare provider, owner of the practice, don't have to be the one to do this, but someone on your credentialing team, or you need to hire somebody to get your contracts in order. So once you kind of get everything pulled together, you've got your fee schedules, you know who's paying much less than Medicare, that's where you start to outline your goals of saying, who am I going to talk to first? If you've got 3 payers that are consistently paying well below Medicare, those are the 3 you start with. So you're obviously going to want to make sure you understand the terms in each of those contracts on when you can renegotiate, but getting organized and saying, okay, let's get the payers, let's get plans, let's get the terms, let's understand when we can start renegotiating these, let's get our United rep or your Aetna rep in terms of the representatives with the payers so that you can start making some contacts and going, all right, it's time. We're going to sit down and have some conversations. We're going to start doing some negotiations and pushing. At the end of the day, I truly believe that when you have a plan together, you're organized, and you're going to the payer saying, you're consistently below Medicare, and here's the service I provide in the community, here's the patients that I see regularly every year, then you're going to be the one to be able to say, okay, this is the value I have to stay on your health plan. Because at the end of the day, the payers don't actually want, you know, you to leave. I mean, maybe some that are monsters maybe don't care about you, but I actually do believe that there are payers out there who don't want to have patients not being able to stay on network. And so, you know me, I'm the optimist. So getting organized and getting a plan together to say, okay, what are my top 3 payers that I'm going to go after this month? And putting a plan around who's going to call them, how often are you going to follow up with them, getting those representatives' names and numbers, and really just, you know, staying on them until you can get a decision of, are they going to raise the rates? Or do you need to determine if you're going to stay with the payer? Now, when I say you're going to be requesting increases, really the goal here is to outline your value proposition. So this is tip number two. So things like, what makes your practice different and how are you providing care for your patients in the community? Things like making sure they understand your specialty, your community, and your patient satisfaction scores. Because all of that can be reasons why you tell the payer, hey, look at me, I'm important, I deserve to stay in network, and you deserve to pay me more. How do you focus your practice to decrease unnecessary hospital care or ED care? There are going to be things like this that you can explain to the payer so that they feel like they're more inclined to negotiate with you. You can also find things to differentiate yourself. It could be things like you offer extended hours or Saturday morning clinic times, CCM, RPM services, or say you're the only subspecialist or primary care physician within a certain radius. Those are going to be things that you're going to put into the letter to help you negotiate these contracts. You're also going to want to be able to talk to them about, hey, here's how many active patients that I have over the last 2 years and that are on their plan, so that you are reminding them that if you go out of network, that these dedicated patients are going to be unhappy, they're going to be potentially switching plans, or they're going to need to deal with out-of-network fees. So adding all of that in as justification is going to be what is going to help you really negotiate these contracts. Also focus on cost of living increases. We know that some of you guys practice in really high cost areas. Focus on how you have expenses that have gone up, especially over the last 2 years, and that the insurance companies need to help with that. Also, consider joining value-based contracts and participating in things like merit-based incentive payment systems as another way to increase your fees for each of the codes. All right, so now that you've gotten organized and you've figured out that, hey, I'm going to ask for, you know, my rates to get increased, and this is how I'm going to do that. I'm going to get organized. I'm going to show them my differences. The third tip is, when they come back with increases, you're going to want to actually make sure that they're increasing fee schedules for services that you actually provide, right? Getting a raise in fees for service that you don't utilize isn't going to help you much. And that is a very common tip that they like to do, is they say, yeah, okay, I'll increase your fees by, you know, whatever percent, but it's all in areas of codes that you never use or that you use infrequently. So really want to make sure that you are looking at increases based on codes that you're actually using, right? Next, you can always try and ask for an escalator clause, something like, hey, I want a 1% raise each year for 3 years or something like that. It can't hurt to ask. And again, ask for the moon and then see what you can get away with. Number four, compare rates across other payers. So remember how I said, get your payer contracts, get the list of plans that you're credentialed with, get your fee schedules, get your terms, put that all into a spreadsheet. You guys know I love my spreadsheets. And again, you don't have to be the one to do this, but someone needs to be doing this for you. You've got to have somebody who's helping you organize your contracts and your credentialing. Once you kind of look at, okay, here's my top three payers that are paying, you know, below Medicare rates, compare your top three payers and tell the bottom three that, hey, I'm getting paid more than that from my other payers. And if you want to stay competitive, you want me to stay in your network, you need to raise the bar. Again, the more you show them facts and the more you're organized, the more successful you're going to be in terms of negotiation. Also, talk to other local physician groups, see how their contracts will look. Don't be afraid to ask a colleague. The more we all stick together, the better we're going to have at negotiations. Number five, don't give up. You guys know that this is my internal philosophy. I never give up. I am extremely motivated that when I get stuck on something, I continue to fight until I get an outcome that I'm happy with. So if you have sent letters, if you've started a negotiation practice, then you need to make sure that you're following up and staying on top of them so they don't forget about you. So don't just send one letter, send two letters, send three letters, continue to send weekly emails, get somebody within the in the organization who can help you make some progress. You also need to make sure that you're, of course, talking to the right payer representative for the health plan in your area. They're often going to be the key to figuring out good negotiation strategies. Make friends. You really want to make sure that, okay, how can I do this? What's the timeline? When should I follow up with you again? Okay, I'm going to follow up with you again. And then do that. If they say, okay, talk to me in 2 weeks, set a calendar reminder. Okay, in 2 weeks, put that, you know, in the notes of your spreadsheet to say, okay, we're working on negotiation. I need to follow back in 2 weeks. Keep everything very organized so that whoever's taking care of this can make sure that they are understanding where we left off and what the next steps are. Now, this process can take months. So, you know, have that, you know, in your mindset that this isn't going to be something necessarily that's easy, but it's worth it in the end. Again, if you're planning to take insurance, this is absolutely critical for the success of your practice. And the last thing, number six, know when to pull the plug. Know what line you will draw in the sand and say, nope, I'm not accepting that. And then be prepared to terminate. Understand what termination means. Understand how you're going to manage those out-of-network patients. Understand how you're going to notify those patients. Now, of course, this is a last resort, especially if you've built a practice that takes a lot of insurance and you don't want to do cash pay or primarily cash pay, then you need to be able to know where to draw a line and say, it is not worth it for me to see these patients, but then how am I going to handle and manage that when I do decide to terminate? So, again, I think the more that we stay organized, the more that your office knows exactly when they can terminate, when they can renegotiate, the more successful you're going to be at actually getting your rates to go higher. So if you walk away with anything from today, it's getting your payer contracts, getting organized, understanding what plans you're credentialed with, getting copies of all of the fee schedules. And I know that that in and of itself is extremely daunting. It's so much easier to get, oh, I just don't know where those are. They've disappeared. It's easy to say that. And I get that. No one has time for this. Hire somebody. If you don't have time to do this, hire somebody. It's just critical that this get done if you're going to see and manage insurance patients in your practice. Once you kind of get an idea of the fee schedules, then you can start ranking them. Okay, who's my top payer? Who's my bottom payer? Now, some of this information you can see from your billing reports. So there, depending on the software, and some softwares are better than others, you can actually see, okay, what's my receipts per claim per payer, right? So if you're seeing about the same type of patients across all of your different payer networks and your average receipts per claim for one payer is much less than another payer, then you may have some ideas while you're trying to gather all of this information to go, I know these are probably my top three payers and I know these are my bottom three payers. Focus on the bottom three first. Focus on getting their contracts. Focus on understanding where they stand against Medicare. Focus on getting their representative, you know, the payer representative that you're trying to get in contact with, and then stick to the plan. Have a plan in place and stick to it in terms of following up, being aggressive, and staying organized. So again, this doesn't need to be the physician or healthcare provider, but someone in the office or someone outsourced needs to have a handle on this. This is absolutely critical. So I know this is a short episode, but just wanted to kind of leave these last tips when it comes to payer contracts. Now, we do have some recommendations of credentialers that we've worked with, and I'm happy to share those with you guys. You can email info@nationalrevenueconsulting.com. I would say there's a number of different credentialing levels of service that you can get in order to keep that cost low. So again, reach out. We've got a couple of different options that we can connect you with in order for you to kind of get your credentialing organized and get your contracts renegotiated. I hope you guys have a great weekend. And as always, if you like this podcast, go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, share this with a friend. That's really the only way we're going to continue to push education across the healthcare provider space, right? We're not taught this in medical school. We're not taught this in PA or NP school. It's just not something we're taught. And so now we have to teach each other. So let's learn from each other. Let's share the podcast. And always, if you need anything, don't hesitate to reach out, info@nationalrevenueconsulting.com. Have a great week.